Praise God.
Well, Jim, why don't you come on up here? This here is Jim Hockaday. This is the first time with us.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jim hasn't known me as long as I've known him. He's was the Raymer singer. How many of you guys recognize him? Remember when Kenneth Hagin was here back in 1990, I think it was. Was you on the...
Yeah, I was here.
Yeah. And so I went up to Nate Wolf's church. I heard Jim was going to be there because I got some good... good feedback on his ministry, and so I told Nate I'd like to come up and listen to him and just kind of view his ministry and everything and the message, and his ministry really impressed me. And so I asked Jim if he would come here, and he said, yeah, he'd pray about it. But anyway, he's here, and I think you're going to be blessed. And so, Jim, I'm going to turn it over to you, and you take off and do whatever you want.
Well, praise the Lord. Not, amen. Whatever. You got to be careful there. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands for just a moment as we make this transition and give God praise and glory. Father, we love you so much and thank you for all the worship we've had, for a time of recognition of this dear one that's given her heart so much to this ministry to honor you. We thank you, Lord, for all of what the service has meant thus far, and from this point, we just turn our affection continuing to be upon you and thank you for the miraculous and the supernatural of which we have been brought into through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we're new creatures. We're not no old creatures any longer. That you've made us of a special race of individuals, those that are filled with God Himself. So this morning, we take authority over all sickness and disease. We thank you that miracles are beginning to manifest themselves now. We honor you and give you praise for the wonderful things that you promised and that which you've already given us, which is so beyond our imagination. So open up our thoughts this morning and reveal to our soul and to our mind the things that will, Lord God, enlighten us to this big, big, amazing relationship that we have with you and this amazing salvation. Father, we trust you and thank you for great things to be wrought and manifest in your presence here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good, isn't he? Well, what a privilege to come here to the state of Washington. Amen. It's a blessing. Pastor, thank you so much for allowing me to come. And it's a blessing to get a chance this afternoon, of course, to spend time with you and your lovely wife. Amen. And it's been such a long time since we've really had a chance to fellowship, but it's, amen, it's a good thing. I wrote some things on my Facebook this morning, actually last night, and everybody woke me up from the East Coast this morning at about 5 o'clock to tell me how much they liked it. I said, ministering in Tacoma, Washington tomorrow, Pastor Jan Butler's a wonderful man. I love sharing the word with him. In the first 15 minutes of being in the pulpit tomorrow, someone will be healed just because. Amen. Amen. Is that a word from the Lord? No, just because. Amen. Just because. Just because of what? Just because. That's who we are. That's what we've been made of. We're going to see in the days to come where it'll just be the most natural thing for you to just stay healed, walk in healing, walk in prosperity, stay in prosperity. Oh, Brother Jim, it's a great and wonderful wave of God's Spirit coming. Well, if it is, then praise the Lord, I'll be jumping in just like you. Amen. I don't mind getting wet, either do you. Amen?
Amen.
But no, you'll see, praise the Lord, even in the days and weeks to come, greater revelation. And I know we've been all about revelation. What else can we teach? What else can we teach? But God's trying to get us out of ourselves, rescue us from us, so that He can pour His love through us like He did through Christ. Amen? And we're going to see some things coming out of our bellies in these last days. That's going to just turn this world upside down. Amen? And we're right on the brink of it right now. Amen? We're just enough, we're fed up enough with us. We're almost to the end of ourselves with religion. I'll say that to this side, praise the Lord. We're just about fed up enough with us. And we've come to the end of ourselves with religion. That there's nothing left for us actually to do but get back to the good old time, just trust in the Lord. Amen. Isn't that just pathetic? That we've had to go so full circle to get so full of ourselves that now we're tired of ourselves, to get so tired of religion and all that it talks about but never does. Remember, I'm on the clock here for the next 15 minutes. And I've got till 12 o'clock to get you out before the Baptists get out. Amen. And I know they'll be out at 12 o'clock. I grew up as a good Baptist. Amen. We were ahead of all these Pentecostal folks. We knew what God was going to do on Wednesday. We put it in the bulletin. We were sure. And he never really did anything more than pretty much what was in that bulletin. Amen. Took me 23 years to figure out how to have revival in my Baptist church. We'd get there early to get the back seat just in case something was going on in the front. Amen. It was so legalistic, anybody's mama could tweak your ear. You didn't have to be sitting next to yours. You get on the line just a little bit, you know it. Amen. Funny thing was, you know, in the foyer, we were the most loving, kind people until you came into the sanctuary. And then, I mean, like a bucket of cold water got poured over you. You just got your spine stiffened up. You sit there just like a poker. Amen. Like you had no expression. You were too afraid to praise the Lord, even if you thought it might be possible, because you knew somebody asked you if you had a question. I used to praise him underneath the pew just about like this. 23 years later, I wasn't as fast as you guys. Amen. I figured out if we wanted to have revival, we should have revival in the foyer. Or church in the foyer. Amen. That's where everybody would move. That's where everybody would laugh and enjoy themselves. It's very difficult for God to move through something that won't move. Amen. But He certainly does want to touch us this morning. So if any of you just get excited about what's being preached, you want to take off running. I always found it works best if you run to the right. That just cuts down on collisions. Amen. We can use our faith for more important things. Praise the Lord, they're raising you up. Amen. I'm trying to make an introduction. Because we do have to come back tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles over to Isaiah chapter 46, and while you're turning there, I just share some thoughts with you. I've been traveling now for, I'm in my 25th year of traveling, and I can tell you that traveling is not all that it's chalked up to be. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. God's grace is on you. You can do it. I was just in England just a couple weeks ago. How long did you stay in England? Just long enough to come back. I mean, got there Friday morning, preached Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, left at 6 o'clock in the morning to come back just to preach a couple of messages at my house that had to get canceled because my flight was canceled. I had to reroute to Oklahoma City and then drive back to Tulsa, get in 11:30 at night. Just the things you do to be with your family. Amen? And so just like tomorrow morning, I got a 6:10 flight. That means somebody, I don't know if pastor, but somebody's going to have to get up early with me, take me to the airport. Amen. We've got a couple meetings tomorrow night in our home. On a regular basis, we teach about 20 youth in our home on Monday nights. A couple years ago, I started having dreams. That's kind of scary for a young man. Because having dreams means old men do that. Amen. And I wasn't really ready to cross that void. So I told the Lord, it's okay as long as visions keep coming, because then I can say I'm really caught between two. Amen. But started having dreams, and the dreams are all about family. Good things. Sometimes things to alert me of, to study, to watch, and my kids. Just the Lord wanting to help me. And out of that, we began to just start a Bible study. And my oldest daughter invited about 13 of her friends. We call it Living from the Inside Out, where we teach them who they are on the inside so they can live out of the inner man. Amen. And now this year, my middle daughter is old enough where her friends are coming. So we've got about 20 that come. We've done some really fun stuff at the house. We even play hide and go seek by the Holy Ghost. My youngest is 10 years old, and she hides, and while we're praying in other tongues. And we'll take about 10 minutes to pray in the Holy Ghost, and then when I say stop, that's when the first thing that comes out of their heart, they give me clues, and I write those down on a board. We simulate those clues where that might be in the house, and then we go and see where she is. And there's been times when we've been on that side and she was on that side, but we're practicing. Then there's other times where we've nailed it so right that we knew she was going to be in. She was in a cupboard. Someone got, she's underneath a microwave. Another person got, there's a room with music. And someone else said, it's a real dark room. Well, that's a theater room. It's gray. It's got music. There's a counter there that has a little microwave. And underneath it is a little cupboard. So we all ran up there, opened the cupboard, and there she was. Amen. Just getting them to learn how to hear from the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Fun things, endeavoring to get them to see who they are in Christ so that they can identify themselves with Jesus. And then right after we're done with that group, then we'll have some adults come who we've been teaching for the last couple of years. God just helped us to start something, and it's actually going to really progress here in the next couple of months into miracle meetings, into a healing institute, and then a healing school where in May we'll be open for people to come 3 days a week, and we'll get you healed. Amen. And but anyhow, we've been teaching people, and God just opened up two hospitals to us where we can go in and lay hands on anything that breathes, really and truly. They are totally open for us to minister. Now, we have to be careful under HEPA rules and regulations. You know, you can't just jerk someone out of a bed, and you can't just try to force something on them because they're there. You know, they're stuck. You got, you know, an audience that can't go anywhere. It's true. Some people take advantage of that, you know. We don't at all. We're extremely respectful to the people. We just ask them, as we share with them some of the good things that God's been doing in the hospital, where they'd like us to pray. We kind of use lines like, you know, would you like to get out of here early? That always gets them. You know, and they open their hearts up for us to pray. Usually 9 out of 10 of them open their hearts up for us to pray. There's usually a percentage in there that are just courtesy to just get us out of the room, say, sure, you can pray for me. But usually by time we're done praying, the power of God's already come upon them, and they're in tears saying, that's the greatest prayer I've ever had in my life. We've had all kinds of things happen. We've had all kinds of pains, bones, muscles, joints, things just healed instantly right there in the rooms. We've had a surgeon getting ready to do open heart surgery, send a woman home that morning as we were able to get there that evening before the surgery the next morning. And he said, I don't understand, but you have a brand new heart. You might as well go home. We've had nurses and patients run us down in the hospitals to say, are you the chaplains we're hearing about? Well, where'd you hear about us? Well, the guy next door is going home a week early. You prayed for him. He's healed overnight. We've had nurses tell us, do you know what the condition was? Because we're not supposed to ask. We said, no, we don't. Well, there was an open incision, an open wound that's been like that for weeks. And overnight, it closed up completely. They went home this morning. Usually, within 24 hours, any baby in ICU is back in the mother's arms. With all kinds of creative stuff happening with those babies. Pretty supernatural. Awesome. And so that's just a taste of what's going on. Obviously, there's way many more things happening in a good way than we will ever know, because, you know, people don't equate that prayer was the beginning of their recovery. And you can't make that happen. There's little things that we do to try to encourage that. But nonetheless, it's been just a joy and a blessing. We're getting ready to start some miracle meetings in February. And that'll lead us into the healing school coming in May. And we're going to do some more teaching. In fact, we even brought some flash drives out there on the table that are the audio teaching to these workers. And it's probably about close to 25 to 30 hours of teaching that just helps you to become miracle-minded. Amen. Where you know that you are a miracle worker. Praise the Lord. Now, someone, glory to God, I know it right now. Amen. If you'll check yourself in the next couple of minutes, you'll see that God's healing you as we speak. Praise the Lord. There's a glory in this room, and it is moving throughout this auditorium. Amen. I don't have to preach for 40 minutes to get God ready. Everything he's going to do has already been done and accomplished. Praise the Lord. Put to your account through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't have to struggle and strain this morning whether or not you're worthy. If Jesus is worthy of it, you're worthy. Amen. If Jesus paid the price correctly, then you've paid the price correctly. Amen. He did it on your behalf. Even his work to respond to God correctly so that the work could be manifest was on him. It's good to be in this Presbyterian church here this morning. Amen. I'll say that again. Even the response to God for the covenant that was given on our behalf, Jesus responded correctly. So that's put on your account. Oh, brother, I just hope I respond correctly. Well, don't worry about it. Don't fuss about that. And don't even think about that. Just trust that he responded correctly. And that's good enough for it to work for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So who in here just had as though it was a band around your head? And it just snapped. And now it's gone. Amen. Someone who's has had pain down your side. Praise the Lord. Check yourself, okay? Let's read this first scripture and we'll see what God's doing. Amen. It's a joy to be with you this morning. I only got two sermons, so two times to be with you. So, you know, there's no sense, you know, acting real spiritual. Let's just get into some things, okay? Verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I shall do all my pleasure. Hallelujah. Well, God wants to show us some things in a little different light today. I believe you'll really get the emphasis of it and see where we're going here in just a moment. And the whole reason why this became a part of something. In fact, we've written it in a book in two different parts. We're just giving you part one today. That book will be out, I trust, in the next few months. But very interesting, as I travel worldwide, and we do go around the world, you know, one thing that's lacking in the body of Christ is that good old-fashioned confidence, boldness. To go beyond yourself. I've said it like this for years. I don't mind saying it to you again, and I'm not going to retract from this statement. But people are still excited about faith today, as long as they don't have to use theirs. Amen? That just goes to show you how things have eroded over the years to the place we've gotten to a point where no one's confident in God to do anything or confident in themselves to believe in a God that would do something. And we're really at in a sense, at kind of like an all-time low, where even though we've come out of what should be 30 years of faith teaching, a lot of the faith churches have even abandoned the whole subject. And most of the people feel at this point a little frustrated in what they've not seen. Amen. Now, I'll share it to you like this. You know, if you look in the scriptures and see the miraculous realm, it never was something that made sense to your mind. So just in case you're wondering, you know, how do we cross the void into the supernatural? Well, one thing you're going to have to remind yourself is this probably won't make sense as you step. Because if it made sense, then everybody would be doing it. I'll say that again. If it made sense, everybody would be doing it. Obviously, if we walk by faith, not by sight or not by senses, then that verse alone is going to tell you that to step beyond yourself, it's going to have to be, in one sense, to the world, a risk, but then to us, the greatest joy of putting ourselves in a trust where only God, and then, praise the Lord, only God is going to give us an answer. Amen. You still with me this morning? While you turn over to Revelation chapter 1, help me with Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 8, that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and what? And forever. Amen. In other words, I'll say it to you like this. Jesus encompasses every time frame, and he never changes in any one of them. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Who in here who had pain down your side is already experiencing relief? Brother, what's going on back there? Ma'am, I'll get you in a second. What's happening back there? Can you shout it out real loud? Is it just starting to go from your side? Do you understand? Did you raise your hand? Is God healing you right now? Yes, you. Ma'am, I'm sorry. The pain in the abdomen is gone? Hip. Amen. Was there a serious problem with your hip? You couldn't even, why don't you get up and run a little bit? What's that? You're in a wheelchair? Well, go ahead and get up anyhow. Amen. What's that? And now it's better? Okay, so let me ask you a question. Would the Lord come into your hip and move on your hip without also coming into the rest of your legs and muscles, bones, and joints and nerves? Well, then you probably can go ahead and begin to have some fun. And if you don't have a little bit of fun, then maybe I'll come back there and help you have a little fun. Amen. No, really, truly, you know, God's doing something for you. I'd at least hold on to that chair and just begin to move back and forth, start walking right there as you are, right there while you're standing there holding on, and just begin to take one little step after another and see that God is actually doing a complete work in you right here this morning to set you completely free. And it's not your effort. You're just enjoying the fruit of Jesus' labor. Wow, did you get that? She's enjoying the fruit of Jesus' labor. Go ahead, ma'am, and just continue to enjoy that. If you want to take a little break and sit down, you can in a couple of seconds. Not right now. Enjoy it a little more right now. But then go ahead and jump up again. And then before the end of the service, you can run around the room. Yes, ma'am. What about you and your hip?
Well, it was in my side.
You're supposed to go down your throat and do some type of scope in there to your side, but it's gone. Pain is gone. You just cancel that. That's good. That's wise. Amen. 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 If you just want to really make the devil mad, you might want to run around the room too. Praise the Lord. Amen. That'll do. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, it's awesome. Who else? Anyone else? What about that band on the head? Someone's been set free from that. You know what it's like. I mean, if there's pressure there and all of a sudden it's gone, then it's gone. What about you? On the side? So what was the main problem?
They don't know what it was. They tried all kinds of medication.
You've had pain there, or you've had discomfort, or what?
Pain,
on the side or internal?
Yeah.
Was it internal or bones?
And
some bulging and stuff there. How about that? Has that all disappeared as well? Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. That's all gone. You can go tell them, don't try any further to try to figure this out, because it's gone. Amen. That'll help them out. That'll give them some excitement. Anyone else? Amen. Amen, amen. Why would you do this? I just want to establish something here because I only have one day. Come tonight. We'll lay hands on anything that breathes. And if you don't breathe, we'll lay hands on you too. Come on, just 4 months ago, I'm in a service. I'm at about this point in the service, in the back of the service. An 82-year-old man all of a sudden dies. Have you ever heard a death rattle in someone's throat as they're dying? It's a very unique sound. It's not necessarily a pleasant sound by any means. And he's slumped in his seat, his head threw back, mouth wide open. He's gone. His bowels released. So it's just a big mess back there. One of the ladies in the church was a registered nurse. She runs back. She checks. There's no pulse there. They can't get any movement out of him. Now, I didn't know everything that's going on, so just nonchalantly, I said, folks, don't worry about him. He's just fine. In fact, why don't you turn your hands around, just stretch your hands out, and I'll go ahead and pray over him. He'll be just right. So I just began to pray over him. God touch him and just cause his body to experience health and strength. And then I said, and now I command life to come back in you. And I said, he just stood up like this, and he looked at us all, and he said, hey, how's everybody doing? They took him out, and the ambulance was there. They checked him out and said his heart was perfect. He went down and chopped down a tree that afternoon, 82 years of age. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Had a man in that same service that we'd ministered to, that his whole right side was completely paralyzed. He said he went home, and as he slept, it felt like electrodes just going through that right side. And he woke up one day, the fingers started moving, the hands started moving, the arms started moving. And over a process of a few days, that whole body is back. He's back at work 100%. Come on, God's doing some wonderful things, folks. Why don't you get excited about seeing the miraculous today? Come on, let's just get you ready and prepare you for it in the next 30 minutes, okay? All right, you look over at Revelation, and we'll keep the same theme going. And those of you that have had any pressure in your head, you see it released. You can just raise your hand, and we'll acknowledge that. Over here in verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. That sounds just like Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And then verse 11 helps us a little bit more, where it says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. So not only is he the first and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was, the one who is to come, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we know from Malachi 3:6, he is the Lord God and he changes not. He does not change. Amen. I mean, even when we see Adam sin in the garden, God didn't change. He still came in on a breeze. Amen. I mean, thinking of Jack and the Beanstalk, you know, when the giant found out Jack was there, he said, Fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood. You know what I mean? He got into it. And if God decided to change and come with a heavy foot, you know, I'd be running behind a tree he just got through making too, wouldn't you? But God didn't give Adam any precedent to hide behind a tree. It was that sin changed Adam's perspective of God, but God didn't change. Amen? I love the fact that God doesn't change, and I hope you can see by the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end and everything in between, that God doesn't exist in the same type of time scenario that we do. He exists in eternity, and without God, eternity even wouldn't exist. He encompasses eternity. He's the author and perfecter and finisher of eternity, and that's where he dwells. Now, he touches our time frame. But thank God he lives in eternity, which gives him an amazing advantage, just like the verse we read at the very beginning. He's the Ancient of Days. And before something has even begun, he's already seen the completion of it. He said, Brother Jim, I don't really understand how that is. And I want to stretch your thinking for a moment, because the scriptures are always trying to get us to think bigger. Come on, under the old covenant, you just had to make sure you did everything right. Because if you didn't get it right, man, you're going to get it. All right? You get judged yourself. You know what I'm saying? Under the new covenant, thank God, it's not based on doing, it's based on believing, because Jesus did everything right for you. That releases you to do what? It doesn't release you to sin. It releases you and empowers you to have a relationship with God. God knows if bad company can corrupt good morals, then His company will perfect your morals. Amen? Because He perfects those things that concern Him, and there's nothing that concerns Him any more than you. And He's endeavoring to perfect you. Amen? Thank God for that. Hallelujah. God dwells in eternity. We dwell in this time, and of course our spirit man is eternal. That's one of the benefits that we have. But we, in our flesh, dwell in this past, present, and future time frame. And we need to overcome the past, present, and future time frame so that we can have the same advantage that God has. And like I was saying, all through Scripture, we're admonished to think like God thinks. Which is really a pretty profound, you know, statement that Paul would say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Which is pretty profound that it must be possible for Paul to admonish you to think like him. And then it also says something about the Lord Jesus that's pretty awesome, that endears my heart to Him. And that is, for me to think like Him, He must have used a human brain just like me to process and assimilate His thoughts. I know that's not much, but when you think about it, that is very profound still. In other words, Jesus didn't come here with some great advantage because He's God. He used a human brain just like you do, and He had to simulate the thoughts in His soul and in His spirit and learn from the Word of God just like we do to comprehend the bigness of His place in God. That just wasn't all of a sudden given to Him by some angel, and He had some extra special, you know, ability to perceive who He was. The very fact at 12 years of age that Jesus could even go to His parents and say, I must be about my Father's business, is pretty amazing that at 12, the Scriptures enlightened His soul to the point where He was big enough in His soul to comprehend that God was His daddy. And that encourages me, because that means my soul can enlarge to the same place of realizing that God's my daddy. That gives me every advantage in the world, folks. Amen. When, you know, my daddy is God. the supreme judge and ruler of all things. He seems to favor the firstborn. Amen? And we have firstborn rights. So whether you know it, amen, this week, you can just go ahead and have the best job and be promoted on your job and have blessings come in, not because you've done anything, just because you're favored. God likes you. More healing can manifest in this service just because you came this morning, not wanting to be religious, but just come to be filled and to be saturated and to be encouraged. God likes that. You're not the only one that's sitting. We have reference over there in Acts chapter 2 that he likes to sit too. He just sits on you. Amen? He sat on them with cloven tongues as a fire. I believe he's doing that even this morning. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 53. While you're going there, there's a scripture over in Ezekiel in chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. That's always been awesome, you know, to see as Ezekiel had these visions of God and all. And he went to the throne. And, you know, it's very difficult. You see these Old Testament folks trying to describe the things that their spirit man understands, which can sometimes go through the brain and be processed incorrectly according to what your soul knows, if that makes sense. And so that's where we've got to be real careful with our translation of things. But I love what Ezekiel said when he was looking at the throne. He said what he saw was as it were. I like the words as it were. It shows me that he was trying to find a way to say what he saw and bring it into the natural. And so he had to use natural examples to describe a spiritual thought, which is possible, but it's not necessarily easy. So he said what I saw as it were was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And I love the description. I think actually he did us just right, because in my understanding, what I see in the wheel of the middle of a wheel is a bicycle wheel. In other words, the inner wheel would be the hub and the outer wheel would be the tire. Now in between, you hold those together with spokes, and those spokes represent time, past, present, and future. They touch the outer wheel at different points, but they touch the hub all at the same time. So what you've got is God, who is consistent, who lives in eternity, and he's touched by every time frame at the same time, even though we may be just one spoke, and yesterday it may have been another spoke, and tomorrow it will be another spoke. But to God, all those spokes are touching him today. Now is faith. Today is the day of salvation. Why? Because that's God's time. What time is his time? Now, it's always now. That's where eternity connects, praise the Lord. Now. And to God, the future is just as much now as our past was yesterday. Come on, I want to stretch you just a little bit to get out of this thinking that you're locked into something. Oh no, how are we going to pay our bills? I just found out about the wonderful law of seed time and harvest. I mean, I need some time to grow my seed. And yet tomorrow, you know, we need the mail to bring my blessing. And where you may be wringing your hands about the impossibility of the natural, God is just outside of your box trying to invite you into his world so that you can see that it's nothing for God to take your wonderful expectation today and stir somebody up 3 weeks ago so that they give a week ago so that it gets through the mail just on time to get there tomorrow. Amen? I mean, he can push and pull these levers of past, present, and future all at the same time because he actually touches them at the same time. That's not illegal for God to do. If you touch them all at the same time, you could do the same thing. And this is what I want to bring you to, is the understanding that just like your daddy, you can touch them all at the same time. We can change, praise the Lord, our tomorrow. We can walk boldly into our tomorrows as though we've got an answer, because we do. Paul says, come on, set your minds on things that are above. Colossians chapter 1. Set your mind on things that are above tells me probably your mind won't automatically go there on its own. So you're going to have to take it on purpose and put it somewhere where it doesn't naturally, according to the way you've been raised, think on its own. and begin to train it to think like God, see like God, act like God. Amen. Is it wrong to do that? No, God wants us to get us out of this natural past, present, and future scenario where we look at our past and we have no expectation for our future because our past has never proved us to be successful. And today our present circumstances are worse than anything we've ever experienced in our past, so there's no hope for tomorrow. Come on, that's the kind of scenario people live by day after day after day until depression sets in. They don't even want to get up tomorrow. All they want to do is just stay in bed and hope for something to happen in between when they go to sleep and when they rise up. Come on, somebody. Life is supposed to be lived in joy and in peace. We're supposed to look forward to our tomorrows. God's not fretting about the economy. There's not a whole bunch of angels that are on road duty up there in heaven digging up the gold trying to get us to it. Amen? He is well supplied, and I'm telling you what, He has amazing opportunities staring. Listen, let me just share you one thing. If God has made us through the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace, through His poverty, has made us to be rich, that means there has to be rich opportunities that are passing us every single 24 hours. In other words, spiritually speaking and naturally speaking, God has brought by your path in a lifetime already more opportunities than you could shake a stick at that would make you a multimillionaire. And we pass them up left and right because we don't see. We don't see. We don't see. We're stuck in our little world, and the ceiling to our faith is our consciousness of our past. And you've got to go beyond your past and start identifying yourself with the resurrected and the glorified Christ in whom there's no limit. And all things are possible because He believes. Pastor's laughing because he knows we could take some side journeys on a lot of these things we're saying. Are you with me so far? Well, let's step a little bit out of this box even a little further. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. And of course, we're excited about this passage. And let me just say, because I like to weave this wonderful message of love and grace into everything I do, that this passage alone in chapter 53, if you really get in there and look at some different translations and see what Jesus really did, not just the beating that He took, that would cause us all to shudder, but becoming sin, taking the weight and burden of all sinfulness upon Him. Come on, if the glory could alter His face and beautify Him, then the hideousness of all the sin of mankind, past, present, and future, upon the life of Jesus, what do you think it would do to cause His being to disfigure to the point where, like Isaiah says, He didn't have any comeliness in Him. In other words, He didn't even look human. And all of this was for us. So what I say about that, if this is your only son, your only begotten son, and you're going to allow this to take place, let me just say it like this. God probably thought this out a long time ago and had in position everything necessary to completely, absolutely redeem His creation, where He didn't have to miss anything and then send Jesus back into this all over again. It's a once and for all sacrifice because God put everything in Jesus that was necessary of completely raising you up and destroying the power of sin and setting you free so that you could have a relationship once again and enjoy life on God's level. So I get into the scriptures here in verse 4. Surely He has borne our griefs or pains and carried our sorrows or sicknesses. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Now don't yell it out just in case maybe you got a little bit mixed up here. But look at the tense here. We are healed. And you say, what tense is that? Well, it's not past tense because that would be you were healed. It's not future tense because you will be healed or you're going to be healed. It's we are healed. So that means it's a present tense. Now, as much as we've heard that before, my question to you is this. Isaiah represents a past tense man, revealing to you a future tense event, but he's doing so in present tense. What gives him the right to do that? I'll say that again. A past tense man who's revealing a future tense event as though it occurred in present tense. Now, what am I doing again? Remember, I want to get you out of the thinking of how this world goes round and round and round. Because you go ahead and live in this world and get in this round and round and round scenario, and you're like a cat chasing your tail. You never seem like you're going to get there. But see, we're spiritual beings, and we can touch the whole thing, past, present, future, at the same time, just like God can. We can live like God lives. We can manifest like God manifests. And we can live abundantly because of the success of Jesus Christ. Are you all with me?
Yeah.
Well, the reason why this is possible is, first of all, we'll identify Isaiah by being a prophet. And one of the things we know about a prophet is another name would be a seer. Which then has to, you have to ask yourself the question, what does he see? In fact, that's what God asked Jeremiah, is it not? First chapter, Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah says, I see an almond tree. He said, you see well, for I hasten to perform my word. So seeing is a part of a prophet's ministry. Seeing what, then you'd ask? Well, seeing what God would allow your eyes to see, and what is God attached to? Past, present, and future. So it wouldn't be hard for Isaiah to see something of the past, and it wouldn't be any harder for him to see something of the future, not any harder than it is for him naturally to see the present, or to remember the past. Come on, you remember what the Holy Ghost, one of his responsibilities is to take that which God understands about your future and reveal things that have not yet even been revealed to you so that you can see things ahead of time. Well, how does he know things ahead? Remember now, he's the inner hub. He's touching all the spokes of your life at the same time. This starts to bring me into some type of recognition at this point that God really knows what he's doing. You know, if Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, then even before the world started, God already had a plan, which tells you he's an amazing planner. Amen? He has plans for us. He has a design for us. In other words, he's got a blueprint on your life. He wants you to experience that blueprint as closely as you can to the image of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? He wants you to live like Jesus lived while he was on this earth. Free from every care, every worry, free from every pain, free from every sickness and disease, a conqueror and a champion over every work of the evil one, where he lived life and pretty much just enjoyed every day. He wasn't consumed with any one thought here, there, or the other. He was just in love with his Father, experiencing what it was like to have such inner peace and recognition, where he had such a healthy understanding of who he was in relationship to his dad. It gave him such supremacy in a world where people didn't know who they were. It freaked out all the religious people and all the intelligent people, and it drew all the simple people to him, because finally an individual who knew who he was, that walked in just this place of peace, joy, and love. Sounds like an amazing life, doesn't it? Come on, right now we'd all be gazillionaires if you could bottle up what's called peace and sell it to the world. Come on now. There is peace, peace that doesn't come from this world, Jesus said, do I give unto you? This peace that comes from heaven, where he's able to say, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. Why? Because Jesus knows what it's like to step out of the natural into eternity, touch that realm where things are in the order of God, and like a trump card, bring it back into this world and just change everything. Write your own ticket with God. Oh, brother, you're making this sound a little bit too good. Well, let me help you with that. If I do my job, you'll feel like this is a fairy tale this morning. It's way too good to be true. You'll think, surely we can't live happily ever after. I was waiting. You left me hanging. Come on, with our children, we watch so many of these videos. You know, I end up preaching Veggie Tales a lot, you know, and sometimes when I go to pray in other tongues, it comes out zippity-doo-dah, but you know, I don't think the Lord even minds that, you know? My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Plenty of sunshine headed my way. Amen? Just making sure we don't have any religious people here, just looking you over real good. Come on, someone's heart's being healed in this room here today. I don't know why the heart hasn't been beating the way it should be. God's healing your heart right here. In fact, you'll feel such an absolute energy and excitement come to your heart. You'll want to get up and run. You'll want to do a walk this afternoon. You'll want to do some type of exercise and just prove it to be so. Oh, well, Brother Jim, what would happen if I was exercising and I died? Well, amen. You'd be exercising for Jesus while you went. We're way too serious about ourselves, you know. The way to walk in the miraculous is not to love, is to love not your life unto death. The moment you can settle the issue that if I were ever to go and be with Jesus, it'd be the greatest day of my life. The moment you can settle that issue, then you can begin to live. When you're willing to die, that's when you don't have to. Amen. Sorry, I know it's a little morbid topic there, but I've watched so many people in healing school where they tell us that morning, you know, all the different scenarios and things that the doctors had said, how in 6 months that's all they've given them to live. And then the afternoon, the Spirit of God come on me and I go over there and jerk somebody out and say, now we're going to run around this room. And they pull against me and sit back down and say, well, the doctor said if I give any extra energy, I could die. And I've looked them in the face and said, for crying out loud, you're going to die in 6 months anyhow. What difference does it matter if you get there a little early? Are you kidding? Get up and run. See, it's the fear that they could die is the reason why they will. I can tell I'm making a lot of friends here in Tacoma, Washington. Amen. I really look forward to coming back. Come on, help me with this real quick, for our time is going. I want to share something with you. If he's seeing something, then I want to share this with you. God can allow a man to see as he sees. So what happened here, just in real simplicity, is God allowed Isaiah to step through a portal. And when he came out the other, when he came out the other side, he's looking at Jesus on the whipping post, taking those stripes upon his back, representing our freedom from all sickness and disease. He watched Jesus be brutally crucified upon a cross, and he saw sin come upon him where all iniquity and all transgressions were placed on Jesus. All sickness and disease was absorbed into that life that we might be set free through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He saw that happen. So when he came back through the portal and ended back up in life, as he knew it, as we know it, he had to pen it just like he saw it. You can't write it, we're going to be healed, because he saw it in present tense. That's why he said, we are healed. Past tense man, talking about a future tense event, as though it just happened, because in the mind of God, it just happened as real as actually when Jesus went there himself, because that was Jesus there at that time. So come over to Matthew in chapter 8, let me show you what Jesus did with this. If you think that's something, look at this. Matthew in chapter 8, and verse 16... It's 17:16. Yeah. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all that were sick. And so I take that verse and I just simply ask this question. Doesn't that sound like the normal ministry of Jesus? And your reply would be, well, of course. Every time there were a group of people who desired to be healed, Jesus would heal them all. Amen. Luke 6, multitudes came to hear and be healed, and as many as touched his garment were made whole, for power went out of him and healed them all. Amen. This was the normal ministry of Jesus, but verse 17 helps to clarify why he did what he did, and it says here that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, that's Isaiah 53, the prophet saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Which is a phenomenal thought to think that Jesus was able to fulfill something that hadn't yet been done. Because typically you wouldn't fulfill something unless it be accomplished first. Brother Hagin used to say for years, yes ma'am, what's happening? Yeah, isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Come on up here. Let me just touch you. Amen. Now that was the hand of God that just touched you. And that's gone, isn't it? Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Just lift your hands up to Jesus and thank Him. Because He's touched you. The moment I touch you, you'll feel that same. Shoo, right there. Amen. The glory. Amen. That just seals that deal. Amen. You'll never have to have fear and depression again. In fact, your friends will look at you and say, what happened to you? You seem like the happiest critter that there is. Amen. People think you had a happy meal. Amen. Seriously, you won't even have to try. Joy will just come out of your belly. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your family will notice it. Your friends will notice it. What an amazing change God just did. Hallelujah, to set her free. So here's how we define this. Jesus took a scripture about a man that saw him on the whipping post and used it to actually perform the work as though it were already done, yet he hadn't yet been there. Which is an absolutely amazing thought. And it shows you that to God, what He sees in the future is just as real as what we've experienced in the past or what we feel today right here in the present. There's no distance in God. So we've got to get beyond this natural thinking, oh no, there's a real test coming tomorrow. One of the worst days of my life is about to happen tomorrow. Oh really? We're talking about God being your Father. Now let me just share this thought with you. I've got three girls. We thought we'd have a boy each time. But it didn't necessarily work that way. Amen. In fact, the second one got the name Drew because we were tired of making up another girl's name. And we weren't even going to have a third one, but we felt like the Lord, you know, encouraged us to, so we just knew it was going to be a boy if the Lord would encourage us to have a third child. So for 9 months, I went around, and every place I preached, I told the people, said, agree with me and just say boy 3 times. And then I found out how much faith they had because she came out. Her name's Chloe. Amen. So we decided to stop instead of populating the female race, and we went out and bought a couple boys. But because the girls had something to do with it, they're little white and fluffy things. They don't know that they're really men. And their names are Muffin and Mitch. Amen. That's our family. Now, let me just share it to you like this, because, you know, we're getting into those years. My daughter's going to be turning 16. You know, boys are really attracted to our girls. They're pretty girls. And I told my wife, I've entered into a new phase of my life in ministry. She said, what is that? I am now the intimidator. She says, what do you mean? I said, now my place in my family is to be the intimidator. She said, I don't like you talking like that. I said, I don't care if we'd like them talking about it or not. I said, these are my girls. And if any guy's going to come talk to my girl, they're going to meet the intimidator. She said, you need to be nice. I'll have plenty of time to be nice later on. You need to like them. I said, I'll choose whether I like them later. Right now, they need to know if you like her, you have to like me. And because I don't like you, then you need to say bye. Amen. It's a little bit, there's a little bit of something not right working there, but you understand where I'm coming from. And so my point is this, with my children, as much as you love yours and I do mine, if I could step into their future, now don't let me go here all alone, okay? In other words, I'm going to get excited here in a couple of seconds because I know what I'm going to say. You get excited with me. Don't leave me hanging, okay? Because I love my children, if I were able to step into their future, now I'm in their future, and look around in their future and say, oh, that's a stone right there that needs to be turned. And that's I need to move that a little bit. I need to adjust that. Whoa, look at that big thing there. I tell you what, I'm going to surround that with angels right there. In other words, I step into their future and I begin to see things that might not necessarily be right. So I tweak it. Well, what gives you the right to do that? Hey, wait a minute now. We're talking about God who touches every time frame. And if He wants, because He likes us so much, to tweak your future, He'll just tweak your future. You got any scripture for that? Take us too long to go through all the scripture I got for it. But we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He beforehand prepared for us that we should walk in them. My Father has gone into my future and so prepared the path of my future to be so amazingly successful beyond my wildest imaginations, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Isn't that the reason why Ephesians 3:20 is there to tell me, now unto Him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think according to the power that works in me. What does that mean? It means try me out by thinking big enough. Dream about your future and see that I've not only been to that future, I've gone beyond your wildest dreams. And I'm not only able to just conceive of it, I can bring it to pass because the power that's working in you is sufficient to absolutely maximize any thought you could ever come up with. I'm talking about a Heavenly Father that has so much and He's so good and His benevolent heart breaks to do things for you that He even went into your future to rig it for your success. Now, if you're getting the same picture about this that I am, that's like a bookie's dream come true. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that means I know who's going to win tomorrow so I can bet the farm today. See, folks, where we've been so timid about running into the spiritual realm and trusting our Father, it just shows us we don't understand the depth of His love. To secure for you such amazing salvation that He's made this thing foolproof where you can't miss it because it's based on what Jesus did and His accomplishment to give you success. He just loves to have somebody say, Father, here I go. Are you going to be there? Well, of course. He's already been there. He's waiting. It's 12 o'clock. The Baptists are out. If you're okay with getting the second round of the table at the restaurant, then we'll go for a few more minutes, okay? Turn to Hebrews in chapter 4 where we can conclude this while I take just a small little side journey and ask you a simple, simple question. Who was the first individual divine personality mentioned in Scripture? Now be careful because the first verse of chapter 1 of Genesis is in the beginning, God created. Now when God creates, you've got to understand, He can't create without it being the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all three together. Amen. Because it works that way. The Father is the originator of thought. Jesus is the initiator of thought. And the Holy Ghost is the manifester of thought. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And it has to be that way. So whenever there's creation and manifestation, it's all three. Right. But there is an individual personality of the Trinity that was separated and mentioned first. Which one was that? Does anybody remember? Somebody say in the Spirit, because we know that the Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. Isn't that right? Isn't that interesting? So, the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the first individual personality mentioned. And what was He doing? He was hovering. What does hovering mean? Hovering means to incubate. He was incubating. He was incubating a world. He was sitting on an egg. He was getting ready to hatch something. What was He going to hatch? He was warming up the environment to take the word light be and hatch that. Now the significance of that is to show you that the Holy Ghost was there ahead of time, well prepared in His incubation to take the action of the Son of God, Jesus, in His words, light be, and bring that to fulfillment. I mean, it's not like Jesus said, light be, and everybody's going, and then you see Him, sorry, I'll get there. And then get there on time and then, no. Remember now, He's there ahead of time. What's that showing you? God's in your future, warming it up, processing it, working it over, so that when you step beyond the veil of conscience and go beyond yourself over into the everlasting leaning on the everlasting arms, right? And you step over into Him, you're not alone. You've just stepped over into something that for ages from the foundation of the world that has been prepared for you. Listen, there has to be something in Scripture that breaks it down to give me the boldness to jump when it looks like I'm going under. And it is that God's already been to my future. God's already sealed my success. So how would God look at 3 million Jews at the Red Sea? Moses cries out. God says, you split the sea. What's in your hand? He said, the rod. You split the sea. But then before he tells them to split the sea, he says, tell the children of Israel to go forward. Well, why would God tell 3 million to go toward a sea when you're going to have a ripple effect that soon, when the first ones get in there and the last ones start to push into it, it's going to make the first ones go way out there, which means somebody's going to probably drown. In other words, a catastrophe. It's like being at a soccer game when everybody rushes to the front and you forget that there's a screen there and the people that are in the front now are getting mowed over by the people that are in the back. We got a catastrophe happening. So why would God tell the children of Israel to go forward except for the fact he's already been to the future and knows that the sea is going to split? So going forward is not a harmful thing. Going forward is their deliverance. But to the natural eye, going forward means I'm going to drown. That's why I say you want to step into the miraculous and you're going to have to tell your brain this probably isn't going to make sense. Because to step out there means you're letting go of the light. Let me just share with you. 12 disciples in the boat. Only one got out. Do your math. It's 8% of the whole. The boat represents what man built, what man is secure in, and what man feels like he can control. Stepping out of the boat means you're going to let go of everything you know about life to put your trust in something else that's beyond you. The 12 disciples represent ministers. Which will go to show you that only 8% of the ministry will ever dare to get out of the boat and experience the supernatural as God knows it and let go of all the comfort zones of which they know and can control. Which then shows you a staggering statistic that 92% of the congregations in the world will never get exposed to the supernatural. Therefore, they'll wander around in flesh, always yielding to the natural man. When God's looking for somebody to say, here I am, Daddy. I'm jumping. What gives me the right to jump? He's already waiting for my future. Oh, glory. Come on, I'll read you the last scripture. And then we're done. Therefore, verse 1, since the promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the promise was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works, notice what it says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now notice that. Come on, God's trying to nail this home today, alright? Get something in that'll give you such a backbone. You'll go home and probably the first thing you say, besides the fact of giving glory and honor to God, you'll probably want to just go face the enemy and go face to face with Satan himself. Say, Satan, let me just tell you something, I'm not afraid of you anymore. In fact, you can howl all you want to until your vocal cords are done. I'm not afraid. I am literally not moved by you. Not again. You can turn to your cancer and look at it and say, you better speed it up and try to kill me because you're not doing a very good job. I'm still breathing. You sorry thing. You're going to die in me, every bit of you. Oh my God, why would I ever say that? Then it'll for sure kill me. See, you don't get it. You don't get it, see. You're not listening here this morning. God's already been to your situation. He's already secured the success of your physical body walking in divine health. You need to get a little bit sassy about this and get into the business of everything that's been getting into your business and let it know you're not moving anymore. Some things are going to change around here, but it's not me. Oh, brother, I don't have that personality. You don't have to have that personality. Amen. You just get a vision of what Jesus has done for you, whether you say it softly, whether you say it loudly, whether you say it discreetly by yourself, or you just let everybody know what you think. Amen. It doesn't matter, but you will want to rise up and begin to declare to your future that it is bright, just like God says it is bright, and you're not afraid of your tomorrow anymore. What am I going to do about my bills? I'm telling you what, God's got 100 different ways to fix your bills. But he's got to fix your heart first to get you to see like he sees. To get you fearless. Where you're not afraid of going under. I mean, come on. They make new houses and new cars every day. If you lose yours, then go get another one tomorrow. Well, I'm afraid we lose it. If you're afraid you'll lose it, you surely will.
Well, brother, I haven't heard anybody talk like this in a long time. Well... You haven't been paying attention to the scriptures then.
Because this is how Paul talks. Come on, in the midst of dying, he says, you know, if I die, it's a whole lot better. I've already been there. I saw what it's like over there. He said, but yeah, I can see that staying here probably be more beneficial for you. So, all right, I'll choose. I'll stay. Huh? But he really wanted to go. But he said, I'll stay for you. And he's in jail. So his next verse, he says, you know, and I'm absolutely confident that I'll get out of here anyhow, because by your prayer and the supply of the Spirit, it can't hold me. Oh, come on, that's so powerful. Come on, Paul was beaten down, but then he'd get back up. The world didn't own him. It doesn't own us either, folks. As we close, look at what this says. Before the foundation of the world, God went into your life, and the works mean the places where God performs the miraculous, were already finished. God's part was finished before the foundation of the world. I know you're asking, oh God, please heal me. But he already did that. I know you're asking, oh God, please perform a miracle on my finances. But he already did that. What he needs you to do is believe that he already did that. So tomorrow when you wake up and you look at your finances, you might want to laugh because God already did something about it. And God doesn't need to know how to do anything like El Cheapo. He's El Shaddai. Amen. So everything's more than enough. It won't come in pennies and just a few dollars. It'll be multiples. Beyond what you can think. And if you'll start thinking bigger, that's where God's able to bring the opportunities of bigger to you. Hindered by your thoughts, by your thought process. That's so little that, oh, if I can just, you know, get one bill paid. Well, that's not Christian. That's the world's way of thinking. Come on, that's what's in our pulpit today. Oh, I want to bring Sister So-and-so up because she's got an amazing testimony of divine providence. And she has one bill paid. Got 15 others, but one bill. I want to testify about divine healing. The operation turned out really well. Well, I'm glad it turned out well. That's better than worse. But that's no different than anybody down your street that doesn't know Jesus. That's out being a whoremonger, cussing like a sailor, amen, doing all the things they want to do in life. Actually living like they're happier than most Christians who are bound by all the things they're supposed to do.
Right on.
Come on, folks. God wants us to come up someplace. Oh, brother, it just seems like such a you know, long road, high mountain. That's where you got to change your thinking. This mountain has been conquered. God's been to your future. Listen, Jericho, you can't get a wall to come down with words, with singing, with a shout. But while Jericho was being built, God already knew that his children would want to conquer that city. So while they were putting their mortar together and they were building brick upon brick, God sent, you know, his number one class A choir down there. And they began to sing, hallelujah, glory to him. And they began to worship and praise and magnify the Lord. And people, you know, while they're doing their thing, they're saying, man, you hear some music? I don't know. I hear sounds or something. Something's going on. Yeah. But they didn't really know what it was. And God was putting sound waves into the mortar. It would never crumble. But on the seventh day, the seventh time around, Israel began to shout. And it matched the pitch that God put in that mortar. And instantly that mortar turned to sand. And the walls couldn't hold the structure. And they just collapsed. Why? God already rigged that. Now the first generation could have had that victory. But they couldn't see past themselves. So it took the second generation. Some younger ones that were daring. Last story I'll give you. Stood in front of this one guy, real tall, ministering to people, and I had to reach up there. And when I went to reach up there to lay hands on him, he goes, I'm a Rhema grad. And I looked at him and said, well, that changes everything. I'll be back. And I went to the end of the line and began to minister to these people. And left him standing there. And then I came back to him. And I said, Rhema grad, huh? He said, yeah. I said, well, what's wrong with you? And he leaned on his leg, and he'd had nerve damage in the top of his foot. When he leaned on his leg, he just grabbed his leg like that and just began to, ah. He said, I've had nerve damage in my foot for 3 years. He said, I can hardly put weight on this foot without excruciating pain. And I said, well, I'm gonna minister to you a little differently. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, I'm going to give you a little prayer. He said, well, how come you're going to give me just a little prayer? I said, because that's all Raymond Grad gets, just a little prayer. I said, because I want to see how bold you are. He said, well, I'm bold. I said, well, we're going to see. And I said, I want to see if you're daring or not, if you learned anything. He said, well, I'm daring. I said, well, good. We'll see. We'll see. So I walked up like this. And he's, of course, he's up here. I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. He said, that's it? I said, that's it? It's the best I got for you. I said, so now I'm going to count to three. And when I do, you pick that foot up. You slam it in the ground. Either one of two things is going to happen. It's either going to be healed or it's going to hurt a whole lot worse. Mr. Ray McGrath. 1, 2, 3. He picked up like this and slammed it and he goes, ah! I grabbed his leg. I looked at him and I said, good. I'm going to count to three again. 1, 2, 3. He picked up like this, slammed it in the ground. In Jesus' name, ah! He grabbed it like that. Of course, it didn't hurt me a bit. It wasn't my foot. I said, well, it's working. Didn't look like it's working for nothing. It looked like I'm killing. You know, no one else wanted to even get in the healing line at that point. I said, one more time, lift that thing up. 1, 2, 3, bam. He slammed in the ground and just grabbed his foot like this. Now he's kind of getting mad at me for making him do that. I said, there it is. There's your whole healing. Total. It's all done. Now run around this room. And he took off running around that room. And the wildest thing, I mean, I watched it. It was so supernatural. Before he even got to the back of that room, he ran around half that room. He ran into Jesus, man. He ran into the power of God. He started leaping and jumping on his feet all the way back, just jumping and shouting, completely healed, completely. And he did an amazing job. He didn't buckle under the pressure. To do what? To prove that it's so, because it's real and it's there. What a horrible thing to have a healing in your foot yet walking around like it's all bruised and sick and beaten up and painful when the healing's actually there. See, me working with him made him do things he probably wouldn't do on his own, which then manifests that healing. What gives you the right to do that? The boldness of knowing God was already there. Otherwise, I'm killing him. Huh? I've told people before, you go ahead and sue me if it doesn't work. I don't have a whole lot, but I mean, sue me if it doesn't work. Come on, if God's in your future, is there anybody in this room that you're like me? I can't wait to get to my future. Yeah, but you don't know all the things. I'm excited to see how it's all going to work. He went to my future. And before the foundation of the world, he finished his part. He's just waiting on me to step into it. Amen. Do you know how many people would rather hang on the shore and wait till the sea splits so that they can get up and then say, okay, now I can cross over? Versus the amount of people that would look at the sea, see the obstacle, and say, my God is in charge, and step into the sea and watch it split because of your faith. Right. Come on, this is a new day for us. We've turned a corner. It's time for the church to release rivers of living water. And if we're going to do it, we're going to have to be bold enough to believe that God's there. Go ahead and lift up your hands as we pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had in your presence. I give you praise for the glory that's in this service, for the few that have been healed and touched. It's awesome. And now, Lord God, I just pray in a general sense for every sickness and every disease. If there's anything terminal in this room, we just command it all to die. From the very inside out, every single organism that comes against these people, I demand you start dying from this very moment. Dry up and leave these people in Jesus' precious and holy name. And for your honor and glory, let what's been preached this morning put a backbone of steel inside of us with an expectation of stepping beyond ourselves into God, where God and only God can change and manifest in our lives the things that are supernaturally, and that has been wrought for us from the foundation of the world, a blueprint with such success that it will boggle our mind. And the goodness of God will lead us to a place of seeing how great is our God. In Jesus' name, amen.